we'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we'll read the same verses that we read this morning, verses 1 through 3. We're just going to be looking at a part of verse 1, though. But in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I want to take the thought of the message this evening from the beginning of verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." It's from these witnesses that we want to develop our thought. Our subject this evening is encouraged by witnesses and being a witness. First, we want to consider the context. Consider, first of all, the broader context, which is the book of Hebrews. Consider the context of Hebrews. Of course, it's written to Jews who had been gloriously saved by the amazing grace of God. They found themselves living their lives surrounded by the influence of unbelievers and ritualistic religion, and they were experiencing incessant threats and persecution from their unsaved countrymen. This, of course, brought much turmoil and difficulty into their lives. So these children of God, these Hebrews, they also had witnessed and were witnessing. Many of those who professed to believe, they witnessed them departing from their profession of faith and returning to the old ways of Judaism. And many of these saved Hebrews found themselves struggling between the forms and ceremonies of their old life in Judaism and the life now that they're called to live. So due to these circumstances, there were many dangers, and this is indicated throughout the letter by the word lest, a word that is found 11 times throughout the book. And each time there's a warning of a specific danger. They were warned against drifting from the things that they had heard. They were warned against disbelieving the voice of God, coming short of the promises of God, leaving the elementary or simple truths of God, thinking lightly of the truth. They're warned about drawing back from God and departing from the way of God. So from start to finish, the letter to the Hebrews was to admonish these saved Jews to persevere and to motivate them to exercise faith. The writer is seeking to stimulate and embolden them in the service of the Lord. And this is seen from another common phrase throughout the letter, and this one is used 13 times, and that is the phrase, "Let us." And then that those two words are followed by a particular duty of the life that we are called to live. We, reading through the letter, you see, let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast our profession, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, let us go on, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider one another, let us lay aside every weight. Let us run. Let us have grace. Let us go forth. Let us offer sacrifices of praise. And each time it is in the present tense, conveying the idea, of course, of continuance and progression in these things. These were not something things that you should just do occasionally, but there was to be a continuance in them. So the letter is urging them to a certain way of life. And 11 times we read the word heaven or heavenly, which states the nature of this life that they were to live. And we need to realize that the life that we're called to live is of heavenly nature. Then we want to consider the context of our text, the immediate context, and that, of course, is indicated by the word wherefore, simply meaning for which reason, or you could say it means in view of. So, for which reason, or in view of. The immediate thought presented, of course, is the reason has already been stated for what is about to be stated. In this case, wherefore takes us back to chapter 10, and if we go back there, we mentioned this morning, but in chapter 10, and it goes from verse 35 of chapter 10 through the end of verse 40, to the end of chapter 11. In verse 35, there is a exhortation. Do not quit. Do not quit. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't quit. That is followed by another declaration of personal need in verse 36, for ye have need of patience. That is that endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That is followed by a statement of encouragement. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That is followed by a declaration of a duty. Verse 38, now. That's a word that is used to draw attention to a particular statement, the statement being the just, that is, the justified or the saved, shall. And the word shall here is used to express a command. They shall live, they shall conduct their lives by or through the means of faith. And then notice, but, a contrast to those who live by faith. If any man, regardless of who it might be, if any man draw back, quits, which brings us back to verse 35, the exhortation was, don't quit. And if any man does, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then in verse 39, we see again, but, in contrast to those who draw back, we, that is, the saved by grace, are not of them. We're not of them that draw back into perdition, destruction, and ruin, but rather of them that believe to the saving of the soul, to the end. So from all of this, from the context of the book, from the immediate context of our text, we see that faith is a key element in resisting the pull of the world. It is a key element in resisting the pull of mere religious form and ceremony. It is a key element in advancing and continuing on spiritually. And again, the thought that is established is the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that thought is carried on through chapter 11 into our text, where he makes use of application. So if these Hebrews were to overcome and rise above their surroundings and continue in the service of the Lord, they must possess and they must live by faith. And what is recorded in chapter 11 is by way of encouragement to them. Now coming to our text, chapter 12, verse 1, so he goes through chapter 11, all these examples of faith, and then he says, wherefore, seeing, would be our word since. So it would be, wherefore, since, or because of. Wherefore, since, or wherefore, because of. So wherefore means for which reason. And then you have seen. So what it is for which reason since. For which reason since. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded with so great, so vast, so large a cloud of witnesses. And that brings us to these witnesses. They're referred to as a cloud of witnesses. Now, I believe the cloud is very significant here because you speak of a cloud to the Hebrews, and what are they going to think of? They're going to think of that pillar of cloud in the wilderness. And why was that pillar of cloud given? It was given for their guidance. It was given for their direction. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses provide guidance. These witnesses provide direction. And then we see that, again, this immediately follows Hebrews chapter 11, which is a lengthy proof of the power of faith to enable its possessors to do whatever God commands, however difficult it might be, to endure whatever God appoints, however severe it might be, and to obtain what he promises, however seemingly unattainable they might be. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So now the writer applies the various illustrations given in chapter 11. He's going to make use of them as a motive in persevering in the Christian life. So these witnesses of our text, without a doubt, are the ones who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Several are mentioned by name. You have Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. And then he mentions the prophets. So several are mentioned by name. And then allusion is made to some others. Their names are not given. Notice verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, wounded. And then he mentions in verse 39, and these all. So you have several that are named. You have several that are not named. And these are our witnesses that we read of here in Hebrews chapter 12. So we know who the witnesses are, and there's very little controversy concerning who the witnesses are. Almost everyone agrees that the witnesses are those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But where the controversy comes in is, in what way do they bear witness? In what way do these that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 bear witness? Again, no doubt they're there to be an encouragement to the runners of the race, to you and I. And that is seen in the words that follow, wherefore seeing, let us. In other words, but in what way, and another question is, in what way do they serve as an encouragement? Most, and I mean most, even in our fellowship, most believe, teach, and preach that these witnesses bear witness in the sense of spectators at a race. They're the spectators of this race. And here's the picture that is usually presented. They are looking at us, you and I, that are running the race, as if they were in a stadium. The idea is that the saints gone by are looking down from heaven, observing you and I. These that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, they're looking down from heaven, they're observing you and I, and they're urging us to continue in the race. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. First of all, if people can look down from heaven and see you and I in this life, heaven's not what I'm expecting. I don't believe that at all. I believe that is a completely false picture. But those who do believe it view these witnesses strictly in the sense of seeing. And I don't believe that's what we have here. I believe that these witnesses are to be viewed not in the sense of seeing, but what's another way to view a witness? Speaking, declaring. And I believe we're to view them in that way. We're to view them as testimonials. All those mentioned in Hebrews 11, they're witnesses, in the sense that they are testimonials of the life of faith. Again, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What this is Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These witnesses of our text are those mentioned in Hebrews 11, and they declare to you and I by way of encouragement the importance, the impact, and the effectiveness of faith. They're not watching us. They're not cheering us on. They are telling us the importance and the impact and the effectiveness of faith. These are men and women who lived and excelled for God in very sinful and difficult times, not because of their talent, not because of their ingenuity, not because of their intellect, not because of their personality, but they prevailed by and through faith. And as you read Hebrews chapter 11, the words by faith occur 15 times. And in verse 2 of chapter 11, we read by it, or and it referring to faith. So that's 16 times we have by faith. And the word through faith occurs 5 times. So that's 21 times by faith through faith, which simply means by means of faith. And those two words, by and through, illustrate that faith is the source of activity. In other words, saving faith is alive. Saving faith works. Saving faith is productive. And these witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11 declare such with their lives. They declare with their lives that faith is alive, that faith works. Faith is a power. Faith is a force regulating our life. And these witnesses declare that with their lives. So I don't look at these witnesses as seen. I look at these witnesses as declaring. These witnesses are real people. People of flesh and blood just like ourselves. And they lived in a real world. And they had real problems. And they had real battles. And they had real burdens. And they had real issues. And they lived and they died in faith. They were men and women who endured difficulties, endured afflictions, endured trials, endured oppositions and obstacles, and they obtained what God had promised. So what we have in Hebrews 11 basically is a witness from the past that it is possible to run the race that is set before us. Every one of these in Hebrews 11 ran the race that was set before them. It is possible to run the race that is set before us and be victorious. And these mentioned in Hebrews 11 bear witness to you and I that God is reliable. They are proof positive of God's enabling power. They are proof positive of God's care. They are proof positive of God's sustaining and His blessing. These are the witnesses of our text. These witnesses have declared by their lives that we too can be impacted by faith and that we too can persevere and not faint in our minds and not draw back and not pull away from God. These witnesses lived in the awareness of God. They lived in dedication to God. They lived committed to God. They lived surrendered to God. And their lives declare that you and I can do the same. They're an encouragement to us. It was faith that caused these witnesses to pursue and to serve God. It was faith that caused these witnesses to live lives of nonconformity and transformation. It was faith that caused these witnesses to obey and to follow God and to enjoy God. It was faith that enabled these witnesses to be filled with peace and assurance and zeal. And these witnesses declare to you and I that our lives can be the same. Our lives can have the same peace and assurance and zeal. These witnesses live lives above this world. These witnesses live lives above the mere shadow of religion. And their lives declare that we can also. These witnesses were not mastered. They were not controlled. They were not governed by their circumstances. They lived their lives ascending spiritually and staying connected to God. And their lives tell us, I can too. I can do the same thing because I have the same faith that they had, saving faith. These witnesses declare to you and I that we don't have to be spiritually drained. We don't have to be defeated in a world that is pulling, always pulling, in the opposite direction. These witnesses declare to you and I that we can be spiritually advancing in spite of a world pulling us in the opposite direction. These witnesses, by faith, they saw God. And you and I can too. These witnesses, by faith, they knew God. They believed God. They anticipated God. That's what faith is. Faith anticipates. Faith anticipates God. By faith, they assented to God. They came to God. They lay hold of God. They embraced God. They leaned upon God. They relied upon God and they rested upon God. And their lives declare as a witness that we can do the same. We can live the same lives. And they did so in a world that was opposed to the spiritual. And they did so in a dark world. A world of trouble. A world of testing. A world of trials. A world of struggles. A world of great need. A world of evil. A world of wickedness. A world of hatred against God and the things of God. A world where God is not honored. God is not admired. God is not sought. A world where the promises of God are not relied upon. And the truth of God is not sought. And the word of God is not obeyed. Yet, they possess this faith that caused them to rise above it all. They possess this faith. And they could see and they could understand what others could not. You think of Noah. He's mentioned there in Hebrews 11. Noah could see and understand that things that the rest of the world could not see and understand. You think the same thing of Enoch and the Moses and Abraham. They could see and understand that spiritual matters were superior and more advantageous than temporal matters. And as a result, they sought and they pursued what the rest of the world did not seek and pursue. These witnesses desired and they sought the heavenly over the spiritual. They were persuaded that the heavenly is superior and more advantageous than the earthly. And their lives are a declaration to you and I. Their lives are an encouragement for you and I. These witnesses declare with their lives the impact, the power, the workings, and the achievements of faith. And they serve as an encouragement to you and I. These witnesses declare with their lives how faith acts. They declare with their life how that faith has life. That faith is active, that faith is energetic, that faith is vigorous. They had a God-energized, life-changing faith. And they declare that faith to you and I. In reading through Hebrews 11, we see that their faith was a source of a good testimony. Their faith was a source of confidence in the truth. Their faith was the source of sacrificial giving and worship. Their faith was the source of a life lived above this world. Their faith was a source of coming to God and pleasing God and having reverence for God and moving for God. Their faith was a source of unquestionable obedience to God. Their faith was a source of strength and patience and hope and letting go and trusting God. Their faith was a source of revelation from God. And their faith was a source of putting their children in God's care. Their faith was a source of some radical living. Refusing to be discouraged, refusing to be deterred by Egypt. Their faith was a source of victory. Their faith was a source of a difference in their life. And their faith was a source of courage and perseverance. These witnesses declare with their lives all of these things. And they serve as an encouragement for us. Run with patience the race that is set before you. These witnesses, I do not believe, I adamantly oppose, that these witnesses are looking down upon us, cheering us on. If that were the case, I would think they would get pretty discouraged up in heaven. But these witnesses aren't seeing us. These witnesses are declaring to us, run the race. We have run the race. We are proof. We are testimonials that the race can be run. That's what these witnesses are telling us. We are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. And that is illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11. And these witnesses, the ones mentioned in Hebrews 11, declare the power of a life of faith. And the declaration of their lives serves as an encouragement to you and I today. You read Hebrews 11, and you read the examples that are given us of men and women who live by faith. There's nothing discouraging there. It's all encouragement. And just like their lives, our lives are to declare. Our lives are to be a testimonial. Their lives are a testimonial to you and I. And our lives are to be the same. By the way that we live, we are declaring and are to be a testimonial of a life lived in the awareness of God. When some look back on our lives, that they would be able to look at our lives and say, there was a man, there was a woman who lived life in the awareness of God. Our lives ought to be a testimonial. There is a man, there is a woman who lived dedicated and committed and surrendered to God. There is a man, there is a woman who lived their lives in pursuit of God and in the service of God. Our lives are to be a testimonial. We're to be witnesses. By the way that we live, we're to be declaring and are to be a testimonial of lives of nonconformity and transformation. Our lives ought to be a testimony that we're not conformed to this world, but rather we've been transformed. By the way that we live, we are to be declaring and are to be a testimonial of a life obeying God, a life following God, a life enjoying God. That people would look at our lives and say, now there was a person who sought to obey God. There was a person who sought to follow God. There was a person who enjoyed God. They enjoyed the Lord. They enjoyed church. They enjoyed the Word of God. They enjoyed the things of God. By the way that we live our lives, we're to be declaring, and our lives are to be a testimonial of lives filled with peace and assurance and zeal. Our lives are to testify. By the way that we live, we are to be declaring and to be a testimonial that we live life above this world and above the mere shadow of religion. Our lives ought to be a testimonial that we were not mastered. We were not controlled. We were not governed by circumstances. But we were mastered and we were controlled and we were governed by the Lord who saved our souls. Our lives ought to be a testimonial. The lives lived ascending spiritually and staying connected to God. Our lives ought to be a testimonial that no matter what was going on, there was a person who stayed connected to God. There was a person who stayed the course. Witnesses. We have these witnesses of Hebrews 11, and they're an encouragement to you and I. They encourage us to run the race that is set before us. These are men and women that lived thousands and thousands of years ago. And our lives are to be like these witnesses. To serve as an encouragement to others. To press on for Christ. Oh, that we would become these great cloud of witnesses. You think about Noah and Enoch, Abraham, and all those mentioned in Hebrews 11. They weren't thinking of you and I. They're completely ignorant of you and I. But yet to this day, their lives are a testimony to our generation. And we're to be such witnesses. What I mean by that, our lives are to witness now, but our lives are to be a witness for future generations also. And people would say, now there was a man, there was a woman who lived for God. There was a man, there was a woman who put God first. And then we can be an encouragement. When we're gone, when we're up in glory, we won't be looking down upon this mess. But our lives can still be a witness, just like these. And being a witness, it can be an encouragement to others. We've known men, we've known women, all of us. And even to this day, we think of them and we're encouraged because they were people of faith, because they were people who loved the Lord. They were testimonials. They were witnesses. They were witnesses that declared. And all that our lives would declare. We are to declare with our lips. But a far, far more powerful testimony than your lips will be your life. And our lives need to be testimonials to the amazing grace of God, testimonials of the greatness of our God, and that our lives would serve as an encouragement to others, people that we don't even know, but that our lives would be a testimonial to them. God help us to be a witness in this way, that our lives would testify in this way. And thank God for the witnesses that God has given us in the Scriptures. And God has given us even in our lives witnesses that encourage us. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together. We thank you, Lord, for each one that has come. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless each household represented here this evening. And Lord, that you would help us to be witnesses of encouragement to the lives of others, just simply by the way that we live our lives. Lord, we do thank you for the witnesses that you've provided in the Scriptures to encourage us. And we do thank you, Lord, for the witnesses that you've placed in our lives through the years. Lord, just help us to live that kind of life. And we do pray, Lord, for Brother Mike, that you would be with him in a special way, Lord, that you would cause him to feel your presence tonight and tomorrow, Lord, that you would give him the peace that passeth understanding, and Lord, that you would be with the doctors, that you would lead, guide, and direct them, and be with his daughters as they wait for him tomorrow, Lord, that you would just be with them. We do pray for Theta, Lord, as she continues her journey, Lord, that you would help her. And Lord, be with Garth as he stands by her. And others, Lord, that are waiting surgeries, Brother Rogers, and be with him. And others who have medical and health issues, Lord, we just pray that you would be with each one. Lord, be with your churches. Help them. And we pray, Lord, for the Jameses, that you would be with them, that you would encourage them, Lord, that you would just watch over them in a special way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see each one.